I love this. This is where we're at in Joshua. It says this. Have I not commanded you? I love where you see this amazing picture just begin to unfold with the chosen people of God, where he called his people. He called his people out of slavery. And he speaks this to Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Church, there's a command for us in Scripture to begin to open our eyes, to begin to see what it looks like to not be afraid. And to really believe that there truly are angels all around. And this week we continue in prayer. Next week we're going to preach from Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to see just how the angels truly do fight for us. It's an amazing work that is happening within, truly within the heavens, within the truly a spiritual realm and the spiritual heavens that's taking place with angels truly all around us. It's amazing what happens when you come to this place to just look at one scripture where you've got Joshua and he's beginning to lead these people into the promised land. And this is the command from the Lord. It says, listen, have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. I love that, man. You just read this. It breathes life into my spirit, man. It brings courage into my heart. And I love because there's a promise to this. Look at the promise. Watch this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble and be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a promise. God says, hey, listen, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And I love where we are as a church, and I love where we're at as true called children of God. When we are called to be light and we're called to be salt, but the Bible says, listen, if salt loses its flavor, you're useless. You're useless. Don't be salt that has lost its flavor. Don't be salt that's got so caught up into the things of the world that you just blend in. Church, all through Scripture, the children of God were never called to blend. You're never called to look like, smell like, or act like the world. The only purpose of us still being in this world is to win the world. How do you do that? By being a light. How do you do that? By being salt. Don't you dare lose your saltiness for the sake of the opinion of man. You walk in this place to say, I will not be afraid. I will be strong and I will be courageous because I know the promise. Lord, you are with me wherever I go. And it is always our desire to do the will of the Father, to build his kingdom. And please hear that. At times that comes with a fight. And you walk in this place to begin to understand, God, there is something happening in the heavens. And there is something supernatural taking place in a battle within the angels and within the demons and within those who are called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Why do you think he says, put on the armor and stand firm? Because there's going to be arrows that are flying. I love what our executive director said this morning. I love what Matt said. Listen, the arrows will fly. And I was just thinking this week, if the enemy doesn't know you exist, what does that say about you? If the enemy doesn't know you exist, what does that say? Man, I love this church. And I love the people who are here in this church who call this place home. And I'm so grateful to be in this house. But if there was one person in this house, if there's 10,000 people in this house, I will walk the same. And I will lead the same. But I'm so pumped that Believer's Chapel walks in a place to say, we will do right by the Word of God. We will protect children. We will protect women. We will protect marriage at all cost. At all cost. Amen. Lord, we thank you We're amazed by you. We love you in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, you may have a seat. Praise the Lord. Wow. Can we say thank you to our worship team? Just so good. So good. They crush it. I love it. I love it. And I do. Matt Cobb, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for what you do. And I'm excited about just truly this church, what God's doing here. And just water off a duck's back from this past week, man. I just appreciate that. But that's all we're going to say about that. And I'm excited for getting into this and continuing with our series on prayer. We've got this week. We've got next week. And then I'm excited because after that, I actually asked my wife. I said, girl, what do you want me? What's in your heart? What do you want me to preach? Because I've got all kind of ideas to preach on. But I love to hear from my wife. And she's like, man, let's start. Sean, if you could just bring some messages on Jesus is coming soon. I'm like, girl, we can do that. Like, let's get into that. So I am excited that after prayer, we got today and next week. Man, after that, we're going to get into a little bit of eschatology, a little bit of end times, and we're going to start looking at Jesus is coming soon. And we have believed that for 2,000 years. The disciples, the apostles, they were looking up. They were expecting Jesus to come back in their time. I'm expecting Jesus to come back in my time, and I want to be busy, and I want to be ready for his great return. Come on, that's in 2 weeks, but we got to preach on this. Here we go. Are you ready? Come on, BC, let's go. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to bring forth your word. Your word is alive and it is powerful, and we thank you for it. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Love it. Come on, if you could turn with me, please. Let's go to Mark 6. We are looking at continuously the purpose of prayer, that we are called to pray with a purpose. Right? And this has been an amazing, amazing series. So pumped for Pastor Steve last week. He just took us through his journey. He took us through his life and just the times that the Lord spoke to him and his obedience to where God was leading him. Man, he walked in a place of great victory. And I love that. Can we say thank you to Pastor Steve as he just prepared and brought a great message last week about his journey, man. He went through 15 points. I've got 4. So we'll be all right. We're going to bounce on time today. Let's do this. But today is this, because when you get serious about prayer and you start looking at prayer, you start figuring this thing out in regards to my crying out to the Lord. Well, the Bible says this, there can be obstacles in the way of that. God, why aren't you hearing me? Like, God, I just feel like there's a block. I feel like there's just these things in the way that, man, I used to have just free access to the throne. And, man, when I would pray, things would get answered. It was amazing. But the Bible does speak very clearly of many different things that get in the way that God doesn't hear our prayer. Now, we know that when we pray, he hears us, he leans in. Absolutely, we believe that. But there's also, watch this, you have to have a balance, right? You have to have that balance. There's also obstacles or things that would hinder, and the word hinder, it means to block us crying out to the Lord, that he's not able to hear our prayer. He's not able to respond to our prayer because of specific obstacles that are in the way. Let's look at these, because maybe you're diving in. I'm hoping that what's happening in this series that we're understanding, man, my relationship with the Lord because of Jesus, I can walk in his place to have this amazing communication with him. I've got that concentrated prayer, which is my time in the morning, and I spend time with him on my face before anybody's up, and we walk in his place, me and God, God and I time, getting into the word, crying out to him, praying for specific things that are going on. And then you have that prayer without ceasing time, which is just throughout the day, or somebody comes to your mind and while you're driving, you're praying, or you're going into a meeting and you're asking God for wisdom within this meeting, where it's constantly, constantly before you. Where everything we're doing, we're bringing before the Lord. And everything that's going on, we're bringing before the Lord. And that's that just continuous prayer. And I hope that this is happening in this service through this whole series here, that you're walking in this place going, man, I want to go deeper in the seriousness of my communication with God. Man, I want to walk in his place to begin to pray his will be done. I want to be kingdom-minded within my prayers. But man, if there's anything that's in the way of that, let's deal with that today and then next Sunday. I'm so excited for this. Come on. Would you look at this with me? The number one is this, is unbelief. When you understand what it means to walk by faith, you understand what it means that we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Man, we have to walk in this place, and faith literally means to trust. Forsaking all, I trust him. This is my belief. This is my trust. This is my faith. So what happens when you come before the Lord with great unbelief? I mean, I loved our time of worship this morning. We are crying out to the God of all creation. We're crying out to the very one who split the sea. We're crying out to the very one who can move the mountains. We're crying out to the very one who is all powerful, and nothing is difficult for him. He raises the dead. He put his son on a cross so that you and I can walk in his place of salvation. That absent from this body is to be home with the Lord. That death has been completely conquered. That we walk in this place and say, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? You walk in this place to have this deep understanding of the great power of the Almighty God, the one true living God who is almighty and all powerful. And in that, we put all of our trust. So church, what's it look like when unbelief comes in? In Mark 6, would you just look at it with me, please? It says this. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. This is one of those kind of stunning stories, right? Where Jesus, now in his 30s, Jesus comes back to his hometown. Like, even what that scene might look like, Jesus in his hometown, where people are saying, hey, hi, Jesus, high five. And they're high-fiving Jesus, and he's just coming, hey, welcome home, man. Like this could be one of those amazing scenes when Jesus is coming in, but now he's got his disciples with him, and he's coming in hot. You know, they're giving him high fives, that, oh, hey, Jesus is back home. This is amazing, right? And then all of a sudden, there's a change. He comes in a place of now authority. He comes in a place that now he's teaching. Well, hold on. He didn't, what? Why didn't he? He didn't do that last time he was here. Well, who is this? Isn't this just high five Jesus? Isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? Isn't this like, it's amazing when Jesus showed up. Now walking in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that really filled him in his baptism. Watch this. Jesus went out from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many of the listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as he has performed by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Hoses and Judas and Simon and his sisters are here with us? And they took offense at him. Church, this is one of those amazing moments in Scripture. You're like, hold on. What do you mean you got offended at him? Because he shows up and he teaches in your synagogue and he teaches with authority like you've never heard. I love where they say, this is the one that did the miracles. Look at what he's doing. He's doing these miracles. That amazes me that you got offended that Jesus just healed your brother. Legit. Or your son or your daughter is comes across with this sickness that you can't cure, and then Jesus shows up and he heals your son, and for whatever crazy reason, you're mad about it. You're offended at that. Like, this is what it's saying. He did miracles there. And they were like, ah, what? Who is, like, this is just Mary's son, but look at his brothers and his sisters are here with us. Like, it's just Jesus, please. But then watch what happens here. And then Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. This is huge. He's got to remember James, his half-brother. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Even his own family was coming against him. And watch what it says here. And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. and he wondered at their unbelief. He was the word wondered here, he was amazed. He marveled at their unbelief. Church, what happens when unbelief comes in? What happens when we begin to question Jesus? When we begin to question his authority, when we begin to question his power. And it causes unbelief to settle within your spirit. It handcuffs the worker. I love what it says. He could do no more work there. What? Why? One reason. Because of their unbelief. Hebrews 11:6 says this. I want you to see this. The Hebrews 11 is the superheroes of faith. And I want you to see this verse. I love this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Keep that up, please. I mean, we walk in this place to really pray Colossians 1. God, that we would walk in a manner worthy of you, pleasing you in all respects. That's what Colossians 1, 9 and 10 say. God, we want to walk in a manner worthy of you, pleasing you in all respects. Everything I think, everything I say, and everything you do. All respects. Everything I think, everything I say, everything I do, I want to please you. But listen, it's impossible to please him, to walk in that place of what we think, what we say, and what we do, if it's not done in faith. Anything done not in faith is sin. So where is this when you walk in his place and say, God, am I actually walking in a place of unbelief? Am I just crying out to you just to cry out to you? Do I actually believe that God, you are God of all might and power? You are the one true living God. You are the God of all creation. In the beginning, God created. God, you can do all things and nothing is difficult for you. Do I go into this place of starting my prayers with thanksgiving and acknowledging just how great our God is? God, you are amazing. God, you are all powerful. God, you hear me. I believe that God, nothing is hard for you. Where do we start our prayers to build our faith and then go into our request? I love where it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. There's so much in this. For he who comes, I love this, must believe that he is. You'd think he'd give us a list. You hear me say it over and over. When you read scripture, ask questions. What does it mean, believe that he is? That means that he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one true living God. And you go down this whole big list when you understand this is where our faith comes from. It comes from an understanding of who he is. It comes from our understanding of the grandeur and majesty and glory of God and is all powerful and almighty, that he walks in his place, that when I cry out to him, it is my faith. When I cry out to him, I understand who he is. And I love this because you walk in this place in Hebrews 11:6 without faith. Well, what builds my faith? What builds my faith is my understanding of who he is. And church, I love where we walk in this place together, that I'm going to get rid of my unbelief. I'm going to start seeing God Almighty for who he is and let that really walk in this place of the proper picture of the very one that I'm crying out to. Is the one who can move the heavens and the earth, the one who can move mountains, the one who can split the sea, the one who can flood the earth. And Jesus, his son, who is coming again. For he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So when you seek him, it must be done in faith. It must be done in faith. Come on, we're going to look at the second one is this. Number one is unbelief, right? Number two, we walk in a place to see what sin can do. When you understand that sin is a blockade to us crying out to God and him responding. See, church, what happens when you understand the first part of this is who he is, and we understand that God is holy. And when you understand the very work of the cross, that Jesus Christ came, put himself on a cross by the direction of his Father to deal with what? To deal with the sin issue. All right, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we get that. We know, God, we know that you dealt with the sin issue. But church, what happens when we begin to lose sight that God is holy? And to understand the very work of the blood of Jesus was for us to walk in this place to be forgiven, but we must identify sin that is in our lives. Because if we just walk in a place to think we just get away with it, we walk in a place to not identify the sin that is in our lives. I want you to see this. Please turn with me to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 59. And we're going to see this. So number one of the things that blocks our sin is unbelief. Walk in a place to remind yourself of who he is. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Get into the word. Dig into the word. Dig into the word. Study the word. How do I build my faith? By building my word bank. How do I build my faith? By memorizing, meditating on his word. It just does something to your spirit. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then you walk in this place. What happens if I have known sin in my life and I refuse to repent? No, I'm okay with being okay with sin. No. Church, hear me, please. You can never be okay with being okay with sin. And you walk in this place, you see what Isaiah 59 says this. Behold, the Lord's hand, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that he cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear. But, I love where verse 1 says, listen, he wants to outstretch his mighty hand. And his hand is never ever too short that he can't reach exactly where you're at. And his ear is never, never too dull to hear what you have to say. Watch this. Unless. So what happens when you see an unless or unless, you see a but here in the middle of scripture? There's something that transitions here. There's something that he's saying, listen, he's never shorthanded. He can always do what he said he could do. He can reach you exactly where you're at. He will hear every word of your cry. But, man, highlight that, circle that, but we look at this and we look at what this means. But your iniquities, that's sin, have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. Church, this is a stunning piece of scripture, because it certainly should wake us up to the fact of why is it that I just think when I'm praying, it's not getting past my ceiling. Man, it feels like when I'm praying, it's just bouncing back. I feel like when I pray, it's not going anywhere. What does that mean? I used to have this amazing presence in my house, and I used to have this amazing communication with the Lord, and just something just seems to be blocking that. What is happening? Well, I think this is one of those moments that we do one of those self-tests. Okay, have I allowed any sin to creep in? Man, is there known sin in my life that I haven't dealt with? Have I walked in a place of an iniquity? And because of that iniquity, his face is no longer toward me. Church, never lose sight. We belong to a holy God. And we serve a God who is holy. A God who is completely separate from anything profane or anything that will defile. Because he's holy. And I believe this, salvation begins. It starts with his holiness. Natural salvation begins. And until you understand God is holy, you're never going to really define how sinful we really are. It starts with God being holy. And in that, God created us holy and clean. But then Adam screwed it up, and then sin showed up, and then all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But when you understand the great work of the cross, that we've gone from scarlet to pure and to white, we begin to understand God's holiness, and it starts with God's holiness. And even in our time of prayer, and us crying out to God, we walk in his place to have this understanding, God, I come to you as you are holy. And I don't want anything within me that is defiling. I want to walk in a place to confess my sin, because I know that you are righteous and just, and you will forgive me of all of my unrighteousness. You will cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. That's amazing. So when you walk in this place to have an understanding, is there any known sin in my life? Because the Bible says that could be a block. If you would put up Psalm 66, please. Again, number one is unbelief. Number two is sin. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So number one is unbelief. Come before him and know he is as the all-powerful God who created the heavens and the earth, and he can do all things. Number two, do a self-test. Do a check within your spirit. God, is there any sin in my life? Have I come to a place of this known sin and not yet dealt with it? Have I repented from this yet? And then clear the way that God can hear again, right? Okay, the third one is this. I'm not going to hit too long on this, is unforgiveness. Number three is this, unforgiveness. We talked on this a few weeks ago, right? When we were looking at the Lord's Prayer, we see that what it is to, Lord, forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors. Their forgiveness is huge. And then you continue in Matthew 6, and you see where Jesus makes this stunning statement. We covered it. Jesus makes this stunning statement. If you don't forgive others, I cannot forgive you. What? Church, what is it that we are the ones who are born again? We understand the forgiveness of God from a holy God to a filthy, filthy, wretched sinner that he would forgive me. How is it that I don't in turn return and forgive another? Right? So we walk in this place of understanding this unforgiveness. We walk in this place to, hey, is there anything in me as I go to pray? Is there any unforgiveness within my heart? Mark 11 says this. If you can turn that, if you could just put it up on the screen, please. Mark 11 says this. I want you to see this. Because you walk in a place, again, we're just trying to go through a list that maybe we walk in this place going, God, why is it that I just feel like there's this blockade? What is happening that when I'm crying out to you, it just seems like it's just not getting past the ceiling? And the third one is unforgiveness. Watch what he says. Whenever you stand praying, so this is even in the place of praying, whether this is your concentrated time, your time on your face, your time in the morning, your time in the evening, it's this concentrated time, God and I time, no distraction, phone's in a different room. It's me and you, God. It's me and you, God. I'm spending time with you, God. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm hurting. This is where I'm broken. God, I need you in this. God, help me here. God, I want to walk in a manner that is strong in you. I want to be walking in a place that is filled with courage, and I will be fearless. God, I know that's that concentrated time. And then that continual prayer, again, is that throughout the day, a name comes to your heart and you're praying for that name for whatever reason. A verse comes to your heart and you're praying for a name and a verse together. And you walk in this place whenever you stand praying, whenever you stand. I love that because it's whenever you pray, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Isn't it amazing that if we hold unforgiveness within our heart, and there's so many people that are so broken, and there's so many people that are hurting because of another person, because of actions done against you, you have to walk in this place to be able to forgive. Now, please hear me. I say this often because I don't want it to be confusing, because many people have been hurt by other people and broken. Forgiveness does not equal trust. Please know that. Forgiveness doesn't equal trust. I can forgive you, and I can release the wrong done, and I can pardon you just as Christ has forgiven me, just as God in Christ has forgiven me. There is a release, and there is a pardon, and it's buried in the depth of the sea. God Almighty puts it behind him. He says, just as I have forgiven you, forgive one another. But that doesn't mean I will ever have to trust you again. There's a huge difference. And that release of forgiveness, that releases you. They may never even know about it, but if you're holding something within your spirit and you're holding something within your heart in that place of unforgiveness, God is saying, listen, you need to release that. You need to forgive that person. You need to forgive that wrong done. Again, that doesn't mean go trust them. Someone violates my family, I can forgive you, but you're never coming to my house again. I don't trust you. That's just wisdom. That's just wisdom. So when you walk into place to have an understanding of what it really truly means to release a wrong done, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no record of wrong. And we are called to love one another. And we're called to not walk in this place to keep a record of wrong. Because honestly, what does that do, man? What does that do to you? You just replay it. And we can't forgive because we're just replaying it in our spirit. We're replaying it at night. We just can't sleep because it's just we're replaying it. We're getting angry. We're getting mad. That's what happens until it's truly this place of release. Who's thou hurting? Because the other person's probably sleeping like a baby. And you're the one who's all, I'm going to get them out of it. And you're getting all fired up, right? And you just, well, man, did this just happen like yesterday? No, this was 2 years ago. Holy cow. What? I'm so mad. What happened? They stole my pencil. What? Oh, I've never forgiven my favorite pencil. Like, you're just like, are you kidding me? Okay, whoop, let's bring this thing back. You're like, come on, guys. Because it gets bigger as you play it, right? It's just, the story gets bigger. We get more mad. You're just like, they did what? They cut me off in traffic. Did they like cause an accident? No, I just remember the license plate. I know who it is. I'm like, oh my gosh, they had a Steelers sticker on. I don't know. They're just, those Steelers fans are aggressive. They drive like they know how to drive. That's what they do. Get out of the way. Moving. Let's go. Ain't no driving Miss Daisy. Come on. All right, look at this. Come on. But when you understand that, and I encourage you, if there is anything within your spirit that is of unforgiveness, that you would just see today, you hear this today. What is it to truly walk in that place to forgive another person? And we covered that in our true, the Lord's Prayer. Pray like Jesus, forgive me as I have forgiven those who've trespassed against me. I love that. It shows a past done. Lord, forgive me because I've already forgiven those who've come against me. I love that. I love that. And then you walk in this place, that the fourth one for today and the last one is this. That if you have a deaf ear to those who are hurting. What happens if you have a deaf ear to those who are hurting? To those who are broken, to those who are weak, to those who are poor. And if you would, you could just turn with me, please, to Proverbs 21. And I want you to see this, because when you walk in this place of walking in this place of saying, okay, I'm going to deal with my doubt. I'm going to deal with my sin. I'm going to deal with my unforgiveness. And last point for today is this. What happens when you deal with you ignoring the needs of others? And you look at this, Proverbs 21, it says this. And it'll be up on the screen, 21:13. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself, and what? Not be answered. Church, what happens when you walk in a place to say, I'm not going to worry about anyone else except for me? What happens when you turn a deaf ear to the cry of the poor? The word poor here, it means one who's weak. And honestly, I love our staff. I love where we're at as a church. We're able to do so much to those who are weak and those who are poor and those who are broken, even financially. We're in a great place financially. Thank you so much for being so faithful to your tithes and offerings. Because we understand the Father's heart for those who are poor, for those who are broken, not for those who are lazy. Not for those who can work but choose not to. Those who live on a system that they just take. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about those who are truly weak. Those who are truly poor. Here in this house, our heart goes out to the single mom. We have blessed many moms who are single. Dad has been a drip. Dad has left. Moms are working. I consider them a part of that poor when they struggle. You walk in this place, you see throughout all scripture, Jesus cared deeply for the poor. He He cared deeply for the hurting. He cared deeply for the broken. He cared deeply for the weak. He cared deeply for the children. So, church, where is our heart when we pray? For the people in your workplace, for the people on your street, for the people in your neighborhood, for the people that you know that are just struggling. Because if we don't care about them, this is huge. When we cry out when we're weak, He doesn't hear us. What happens when you walk in this place to have an understanding of our heart needs to be towards those who are broken and towards those who are hurting and towards those who are poor and towards those who are weak? I just want to read this. Matthew 25 says this. And I love this. This is Jesus speaking. And I love when you begin to see Jesus. When you're reading scripture, you see him speak. And he catches the attention of people. And then they ask a question, and then he drops the reason why he's speaking. It's amazing to just see scripture and to see the language and to see how Jesus, he captures the attention of people. He speaks something. They're like, okay, but what about... And then he's like, yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. Like, Jesus knows everything, right? I knew you were going there. So let me tell you what I was really saying. And this is one of those moments we see it in Matthew 25, verse 34. It says this, and then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, and I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? Or you were thirsty, or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? They're like, did we miss something? And then he drops something on us that I encourage us to truly watch this and truly pay attention to this. This is the heart of God. That he is so desperate towards those who are broken. He is so desperate to those who are hungry. He is so desperate to those who are lost. This is what he says. And then he will say to those, hold on. For when did we see you sick or in prison or come to you? Verse 40 says this, and the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, and even the least of them, you did it to me. Can you just bow your heads just for a moment, please? Church, what happens when you understand what it truly looks like? Say, Jesus, when we walk in this place, that we want you to hear us, and we don't want anything that would bring that block. We want you to hear us. One, we got to deal with our faith and walk in this place of belief. We got to walk in this place to deal with sin. We got to walk in this place to forgive. And have an understanding, as much as we have helped the ones who are broken and the ones who are weak and the ones who are hungry and the ones who are thirsty. Jesus says, you were doing that unto me. Just as if You're doing it unto me. Church, how he loves us. And how he's called us to stand with those who are hurting and broken. And walk in this place. It's time to get rid of these obstacles that are getting in the way. Come on, just bow your heads. And I just want a simple question. We walk in this place to say, do you know and love Jesus? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? It starts with his holiness. And it starts with us having an understanding that we are sinners and we are separate from God because of our sin. Don't play games with sin. Don't play games with sin. Don't play games for the end times. You walk in this place, say, well, I believe this or I believe that, or I've been told this or I've been told that. Walk in a place to believe Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's it. Only Jesus. Jesus by grace, because God loves. And we admit our sin. We believe only in Jesus. Jesus, I confess that you are Lord of my life, and I call on your name. And in me calling on your name, there is no other name that leads to salvation. But me calling on your name, and in that I may be saved. And I walk in this place to surrender that you are my King and you are my Master and you are my Lord. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus, you're the only way, and I call on you. And I confess that you are Lord. And you walk in this place to have a deep understanding of that. The Bible says that you are born again and that you are saved. If you could just stand to your feet, please. Man, if you would just sing and close this out, but I ask as the Lord would reveal in your spirit, man, what has God spoke to you today? Where are you in this morning? In the place of God, it's time to remove the obstacles so we can be back in communion again. If anybody needs prayer for any reason, please see us up front, up here to my left, your right. We'd love to pray with you. Come on.